his skills. He's also a suspect in a Sunday morning shooting that injured four people outside Seattle. Authorities in Los Angeles have a person of interest in connection with more than three dozen suspected arson fires in and around the city during the New Year's weekend. CNN's Casey Wyan reports there have been more fires overnight.
Four confirmed fires, we're told, linked to automobiles near carports in the Los Angeles area. The fire department has responded to all four of those scenes. They're trying to determine if incendiary devices were used in those fires, which is what happened with all those 39 other fires over the last couple of days.
The person of interest is said to be in his late 20s to mid-30s with dark hair and a ponytail. Texas Congressman Ron Paul says he will likely finish in first or second place in tomorrow's Iowa caucuses. But Paul also tells CNN State of the Union he's continuing no matter what.
I would say the people are with me on this, and the momentum is going to continue regardless of exactly what happens and what place I am on Tuesday night.
The final poll by the Des Moines Register shows Mitt Romney in first, Paul second, and Rick Santorum in third. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak was wheeled into court on a gurney today in Cairo. He's charged with ordering the killing of hundreds of protesters in an uprising that ended his 30-year rule. Mubarak has pleaded not guilty. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
My wife has lung cancer. Like more and more lung cancer patients, she never smoked. It's hard to be encouraged. The overall survival rate for lung cancer is 15%. Where it was decades ago. Lung cancer is my own personal sadness, but it's a sadness shared with 225,000 new families every year. Numbers, I know. But my number has a face, a smile, hands I love to hold. For families touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. Ignoring this disease is costing thousands of lives every year. 1 in 14 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime. Will you or a loved one be next? It's time to do something about lung cancer. Go to lungcancerleaders.org to join the fight. That's lungcancerleaders.org.
You might get an unlikely ally in your New Year's resolution to eat healthier foods. By 2013, restaurants will have to put more nutritional information on their menus, so they're making changes now, creating dishes that are low in fat, calories, and sugar.
As restaurants prepare for this shift, they're looking at adding items to the menu that really take into consideration food intolerance, low calorie, low fat, areas where the menu will start to look more attractive to consumers.
That's Darren Tristano of Technomic. His research shows even use of the word healthy in menu descriptions is up by 86% over last year. Use of the words low fat increased by 33%. And the number of times you'll see no sugar on the menu, well, that's up 51%. And Technomic says the changes are occurring in all different kinds of restaurants, from fast food to high-end chains. I'm Elisa Parenti from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
And now from Dice.com, the career hub for tech. How 30 seconds can make a difference to a tech career. A brief symposium. You could spend 30 seconds forwarding a funny video to a colleague. Impact? A lukewarm high five in the hallway. You could flirt with the new receptionist.
Hey, how's it going?
Impact? A stern reprimand from HR, and 2 hours of mandatory sensitivity training. Or you could upload your resume to Dice.com, the top site for tech jobs.
Dice has over 80,000 of the best jobs in tech. Find tech jobs from the hottest companies, from Adobe to Zynga. Plus, take advantage of videos, news, tips, and a suite of tools to boost your career. So the next time you have 30 seconds, spend them wisely. Dice.com, the career hub for tech.
Make saving more at Rite Aid your best resolution yet. Now through January 28th, you can earn a $20 plus up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Start the year off with better savings at Rite Aid. Resolution rewards is another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase when qualifying threshold is met. Plus up expires February 11th, 2012.
I'm talking with Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. How would you define the quality of the scanner?
The temporal scanner is the only thermometer that has been rigorously tested by thousands of hospitals with more than 40 peer-reviewed published studies attesting to its accuracy.
What about the value of the product?
The peace of mind from knowing that your family's health is well protected is priceless.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Supercenters and Sam's Club and other fine retailers.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is a Booyah Monday, January 2, the year 2012. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you as we have an amazing show lined up for you today. In fact, the whole week, we've got some new stuff to bring to you. And in fact, one of our new segments will happen today at 8:35. We'll get to that in just a moment. Of course, a lot of things have changed and a lot of things have stayed the same. And we'd like to think that as we work our way through this first week of 2012 and onward, as we In fact, tomorrow at the Iowa caucuses, as we take a look at presidential politics, statewide politics, and local politics, folks, 2012 is the year of change. Where do you fit into all that? Well, that's up to you, and we're going to give you plenty of opportunity to get involved at any level you would like to get involved, and we plan to get real involved in the election process moving forward. So we'll stay tuned for that. A little later on in this hour, we're going to take a look back at the year 2011. What has the GOP done right? What have they done wrong? Well, more in the wrong category as we work our way forward, or backward, if you will. And of course, we'd be happy to take some of your calls in this hour. In the next hour, State Representative Harvey Santana will be with us live in studio. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at 7:50. We renew our commitment to Occupy Detroit in the year 2012. Chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, will check in with us at 8:05. And at 8:35, we begin a new segment, what we're calling Blog Roll, R-O-L-E. Well, we'll be on and off with Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog in 1 week, and Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan in the other. Christine Berry will be our guest today at 8:35, and we'll get to that again a little later on, and we'll explain it all to you as we get to that. So looking forward to that, expanding our universe. And hey, listen, to everybody, good morning and Happy New Year. Let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Revival is our first word, and I think that it's appropriate as we revive our spirit, our renewed energy, our hope. Yes, it is time, of course, to reengage, and part of the responsibility I have is to revive your sense of hope, as we got pretty beat up as Democrats and progressives in the year 2011. Does 2012 really hold promise for us? It absolutely does. But what that promise means is entirely up to you and how engaged you want to be in the process. I am, of course, really doubling and tripling, quadrupling my efforts, and just happy as hell to be where I'm at today. To know that I have a voice moving forward in 2012 is empowering for me, and I hope that that becomes somewhat infectious for you. Revival of spirit, revival of energy, revival of opportunity, revival of hope. It's all there for you, folks. You just need to decide how you want revival to work for you. And that is our first word in the first show of 2012. And reviving a tradition on the program anyway, on a daily basis. Jeff Radford joins us now. Happy New Year, my good friend. How
Happy
are you?
Happy New Year. Doing good on this first Booyah Show of the Year.
Booyah Show of the Year, and it is a Booyah Show. Hey, I know that we actually did take some time off. It wasn't total work for us while we were gone, and I'm glad that you did take some time for yourself, and it's nice that we got to do that, actually.
Yeah, definitely, and, you know, did some work, though. I mean, we had a couple of days off, but we as you can tell with the new open, we got new segments going on, and I'm kind of excited to hear how the rest of the show, well, I know how it's going to sound, but I'm excited to hear how you and the listeners like the new sounds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we've got some new production stuff. We've got a new segment with the blog roll segment, which I know you're really excited for.
I am. I think it's
and,
cool.
Yeah, I do, too. And, of course, you know, some of the stuff that's worked for us in the past is still there. You know, we didn't really get rid of anything. We're just kind of adding to it. You know, you get to a point. I had the great fortune this past week of meeting with some of our regular guests, some people that we've had on the show on a more regular basis, like Brandon Jessup from Michigan Forward. They had a chance to meet him in person, which is and it was nice to have the ability to not have to worry about the clock. And I got to tell you, although you know, I didn't take a whole lot of time, quote unquote, off. I had a lot of catching up to do and a lot of organizational stuff to do. The best part was not setting my alarm clock, and I didn't set my alarm clock once while we were off, and that, to me, was all I cared about.
Yeah, that is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nice, especially when you get up as early as we do, although I got to tell you, I was ready to go to work this morning. I was ready to punch in this morning.
Me too. I was too. But you know what's funny is, like, during the time off when you don't set an alarm clock, I still couldn't sleep past, like, 7, 7.30.
Well, had I got to 7.30, I wouldn't have known what to done with myself, but, yeah, you know, I was... I went to bed a lot later, so you know that helped me sleep till 5:30 or 6 o'clock. So I got you know that much, but I stayed up till, and I just did it deliberately. It was almost like I was defying myself. You know, I'm going to stay up till midnight just because I could, and I did just because I could. I did, you know, I got to tell you, I did a lot of like brainless television watching, watched Turner Classic Movies, and you know just. Like mindless stuff, which I don't ever get to do. So, you know, for what it's worth, it was, to me, was relaxing. So I guess that's all that matters, right?
That's what I'm saying.
It was about, recharging the batteries, and I really do feel like I recharged the batteries a bit. Now, if it lasts past Wednesday, I guess I'll feel okay about that.
Right.
You know, because when you get up as early as we do, it doesn't take long to use up that energy, but... anyway, let's turn our attention towards a little bit towards what happened yesterday, and that, of course, is the Detroit Lions. Although they lost offensively, you know, they look really good, Jeff. And if we can figure out what's wrong with our defense, I don't care how good the New Orleans Saints are. Anything can happen on any given, in this case, Saturday, but on any given day. And I don't know that we can count the Lions out.
No, especially not against a team like New Orleans. I mean, I kind of went into this a little bit with a couple of people last week about, you know, looking at a team like San Francisco or looking at a team like New Orleans. When you have a team that doesn't have a great defense, but they have an offense that just outscores people like the New Orleans Saints do, you always got a chance because you saw the game yesterday. I mean, yesterday was a slugfest, a track meet, back and forth, just offenses. And so you never knew until the final minute, final 30 seconds, who was going to win that game. Same with the Saints, you know. Now, if you play a team with a good defense, you know, offenses can show up and be good, or they can, you know, fizzle a little bit. Defenses, if you're on a good defensive team, defenses show up. That's effort. Offense is talent. Defense is effort. And a little bit of talent, but, I mean, it doesn't go away. You know, like a defense doesn't necessarily have a good defense doesn't necessarily have a bad day.
All right, let me drag Anthony into this conversation. I'd asked you this question yesterday when we were watching the game, and the question is, what do you think of the Lions' defense? You really didn't give me an answer, pal.
Still don't have one.
Can't figure them out. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I mean, every snap is different. Not even every game. It's just every snap. You never know what you're getting.
All right, and you know, let's just take a look at the defense for a moment. Do you think that next Saturday's game is going to be about defense?
Yeah, it's Yeah, I mean, we do have to stop their offense because, I mean, they just, they're too powerful. Excuse me.
You all right there, buddy?
Yeah, just give me a sec.
No problem. Welcome to live radio, eh? Anyway, you're right. I mean, you know, ultimately it is about stopping the offense. The question you have to ask yourself, and I'll throw it to Jeff, is, you know, certainly we take a look at one of the more prolific quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in Drew Brees, and I don't care how good your defense is he stoppable?
That's the thing. If your offense is good enough, then you can keep him off the field. And I don't know if the Lions have a – they definitely have a quick strike offense, but do they have an offense that, you know, can sustain longer, you know, time-consuming drives? And actually yesterday, their offense was the longer drive offense. It seemed like they would just plug away and go down the field, and then all of a sudden Green Bay would have like an 80-yard score, 60-yard score, like long one broken play scores. But if they can keep Drew Brees off the field, that's a better defense than having him on the field and hoping your defense can step up.
Well, of course, you know, keeping Drew Brees off the field has been a challenge for everybody this year. But, you know, let's you know, go back to last season. As Anthony just reminded me before the game, Jeff, you know, the Seattle Seahawks made the playoffs as a wild card at 7-9 last year and ended up beating the Saints in the opening round of the playoffs in the wild card last year. So, you know, again, anything's possible. You know, and I don't know that you look at the game we played against the Saints this year, and you know, do you learn from that? You know, we of course can go back to that that idea that it's really hard to beat a team twice in one season. Although in in football you do play your division twice every year, so is it as applicable in professional sports as that is in college sports? I don't know.
Well, think about this. This is exactly how it went down in the season. Then they played Green Bay, and the very next week they played New Orleans.
Yep.
And then it's happening again.
Yep, here we go again. All right, let's take a quick break here. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. You know, Happy New Year, by the way, to each and every one of you. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Hope you are all well, happy as hell to be back in punching in here in 2012. A lot to get to as we work our way through the morning. Give us a call. We'll take the break, and we'll continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persan, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trivino on 1310 WDTW.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at Officemax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 Officemax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at Officemax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
First Shift is more than a radio show. It's a movement. And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
That feeling you were just born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day. What should the state legislature's top priority be for 2012, feel free to add to it. I've got some suggestions there. We've actually had quite an active participation already this morning. But what should the state legislature's top priority for 2012 be? And go check it out on the First Shift Facebook page. If you've not been there before, all you have to do is go to Facebook, obviously. And then just search for First Shift. If you could, like it. I was telling Jeff before the show started today, the problem I'm running into, people are asking to friend me on Facebook on my personal page. And of course, the connection is First Shift. And so I'm trying to get you folks to kind of, like the First Shift page. But nonetheless, it's great to connect with you either way. But if you haven't yet liked us on First Shift, go ahead and do that. Quickly, Jeff and Anthony, clean up our sports from not just the last segment, but from the last week. The Detroit Red Wings had a great week, winning three games in the past week. And, of course, the Detroit Pistons won their first game, beating first-place Indianapolis this past week.
Yeah, about that. I didn't know when they would get their first win. I thought we'd have to wait for a while.
Well, it was, all things considered, they're going to have a problem putting butts in the seats at the Palace. There's no question that's true. I do feel bad. I can't imagine what it's like to be a professional athlete and to have a third of your arena full.
Yeah, but, the NBA deserves this. And I don't know if it's this way in other cities, but Detroit was going to be bad anyway. So they probably were going to have an attendance problem. But now, because of the lockout, what has the NBA done for the fans? You know what I'm saying? Like, baseball made a conscious effort to kind of, try and win fans back. Well, what has the NBA done?
Well, I know, Jeff, at some point, can we give them a little time? I mean, the season's just started. And, it may take, this may be a throwaway season. It may be, we may have to wait till next season before the NBA figures out what they want to do. But I got to be honest with you, it may be time for a new commissioner.
Yeah, that's the talk that's slowly trying to creep in, especially when he vetoed the trade for Chris Paul to the Lakers. That really ticked off a lot of people. But, you've got to be thinking during this lockout, okay, when we come back, we've got to do something to get fans interested. Because I don't know, this is something that's kind of geeky, but, NBA fans can buy, the ticket for NFL football where you can watch any game you want kind of thing.
Right.
They didn't lower the price of that. In fact, they actually made it so that if you want to, do it on your TV, or your computer, it's two different charges. One's more expensive than the other. I mean, it's kind of confusing. If you want to do it on your iPad, it's even more. There's another fee. Like, get rid of all of that. Like, make it easy to see all the games. Lower the price. Do something to help the fans out if you really want them interested in your product.
You know, I think, Anthony, and I'm going to pull you in here, Abe, because you're the prototypical sports fan. You like all sports. I've lived with you a long time, so I know that you watch hockey, you watch basketball. How do you feel about basketball right now?
Definitely, I realize I'm a bandwagon Pistons fan.
Okay.
Just, the NBA doesn't do it for me. I'd rather watch hockey, definitely.
Okay. Well, and Jeff, I don't know that's that unusual. I would think that, if this audience were more sports inclined, that they'd probably be more towards Anthony's liking, I would think.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of, and I've even done polls among friends and family and people I run into, and really, if the Pistons are good, and they haven't been good for a while, there's two things that have to be involved here. If they're good and they haven't been good for a while, then people are interested.
I don't mean to interrupt you very quickly because I don't want to run out of time. We got a lot of stuff to get to yet today. For the audience, I think some of the audience know that you do a sports show Mondays and Tuesdays on WTKA out of Ann Arbor. Does that audience talk much about basketball? Not at all?
Michigan basketball, a little bit, but not pro basketball.
Now, what happened? Because I know that I know that show is really football-centric, but football's going to be over after tomorrow in Ann Arbor. What the hell are they going to do? What do you talk about after that?
Oh, recruiting and all kinds of stuff.
Seriously, it's still football focused. Huh?
No, not necessarily. You try to make the transition to basketball, but yeah, there's always, if there's a football story that comes up. I mean, we were kind of blessed last year because the coaching change happened. That kept football top of mind throughout the off season, I suppose.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. All right. Well, anyway, just wanted to make sure we mentioned that. And, of course, for those of you that follow the show on Facebook, you know that we had a new arrival in my home. Jeff, we welcomed a rescued dog, a Pomeranian.
I don't know that I've heard the name of it yet.
Vinny.
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 I like that.
Vinny. Absolutely. My wife named him.
Now, does your dog take a last, is it Vinny Trupiano?
Sure, why not?
Okay, I didn't know.
Well, sure, when you go to the vet, you got to have a last name for the dog. So
you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
I never knew that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I thought the dogs just had one name.
No, they take on the last name of the owner.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So we rescued this cute, very cute puppy. Now, I don't know that, and Anthony, I don't know. I think I know you would have rather we got a big dog, but it wasn't about us. It was about mom.
No, a real dog, not a big dog.
A real dog. You don't consider Vinny a real dog?
No, he's a cat.
He's not a cat.
That's how I felt when my parents got a small dog, and I'm like, this thing could get beaten up by a cat. That's not a real dog.
Wow.
I'm with him. I like bigger dogs.
Well, I like bigger dogs too, but let me just say this. Anthony, would you have been cleaning up after a bigger dog?
Depends how much I like
him. Yeah, that's what I thought. There's my answer. So he's very, would you at least admit that he's very cute?
Yeah, he's not bad.
Wow, you can just hear the emotion pouring out.
Yeah, and Dominic pretty much, Chris hasn't really said much. You know, Dominic's pretty much in Anthony's camp.
I heard he stole your chair on on the couch or something like that.
Yeah, right? That's all right. That's okay.
He's won you over.
Already, yeah, absolutely no question. I'm in love with that little thing. I'm absolutely in love with him. He is just so cute. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed, Jeff. We picked him up from a rescue shelter just north of Kalamazoo in Otsego. And the woman that runs this dog rescue place has an amazing operation. Just amazing, the clean, well-organized, does an amazing job. It's clear that she knows what she's doing. She must have had 70 or 80 dogs there. And she's got, some of the smaller dogs are in one area, the larger dogs are in another area. She had a little visitation area, which was kind of cute, for the people that come to pick out their dogs or to, decide. Because we were, we weren't necessarily tied to taking them. If we didn't like them when we got there, that would have been okay. But I didn't think we were going to drive 2.5 hours not to get them, and we didn't. And he is just adorable. Yeah, he's already stolen my heart.
That's pretty cool. It's funny. because you kind of made it sound like this is my wife's doing, and then all of a sudden you got the dog, and it's like, it's really the two of you that like this dog.
Absolutely. No, there's no question that's true. I mean, she's the one that wanted the lap dog, and I wasn't necessarily a big fan of doing that, but now that we got him, even this morning, he was knocking on his, we've got him, you know, in a crate, and he sleeps in a crate, and he was kind of knocking on the crate this morning before I left, and so I took him outside. And he did not want me to leave. He was all over me, giving me all kinds of kisses. But, hey, got to do what you got to do. And here I am, and there he is. And I'll look forward to seeing him when we get home. A quick break here. When we get back, we're going to take a look back at the year 2011 for the GOP. Take a look at some local stuff as well. We've got a lot to get to, including the Iowa caucuses. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
1 year from now, Americans will be caught in an unprecedented blizzard of campaign ads. Most of this ad blizzard will not come from the candidates, but from ads secretly funded by huge corporations. This is because a five-man cabal on the Supreme Court issued an edict that perverts nature itself. In a case titled Citizens United, the five decreed that, shazam, lifeless corporate elites are henceforth persons with more electioneering rights than us real-life persons. In a black-robe coup against our democracy, the Supremes rule that a corporation's money is speech, and that CEOs may dump unlimited sums of it into their own ad campaigns to elect or defeat any candidates they choose. Of course, it's a grotesque, Kafkaesque lie to say that Walmart, Goldman Sachs, ExxonMobil, and the rest are people with political rights equal to, much less superior to, human beings. As a friend of mine puts it, a corporation is not a person until Texas executes one. The good news is that real citizens of our country are united against Citizens United. In a Hart Research poll, 87% of Democrats, 82% of Independents, and even 68% of Republicans favor passing a constitutional amendment to overrule the court's bizarre decision and make clear that only people are people. Sadly, though not surprisingly, our national elected officials, including Republicans, Democrats, and Tea Partiers, are too hooked on corporate money to stand up for us, for America's democracy. So do we just have to surrender to the corporados? Of course not. We're Americans. This is Jim Hightower saying, rebel! A new We the People campaign is rallying grassroots folks to sign a Declaration of Independence from Corporate Power. To sign and join the action, go to WeThePeopleCampaign.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with a local story and then move forward onto the national stage. Again, the Iowa caucuses are tomorrow. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Channel 7's Tara Edwards gives us a preview on new laws in 2012 and how they will affect you. Here we go.
Governor Snyder and lawmakers push a series of tax changes through in 2011, and the changes could be drastic. The state's business tax has been replaced by a 6% corporate tax. This will fall mostly on large corporations with shareholders. Two-thirds of businesses won't pay the corporate income tax, though, but some manufacturers may pay more in taxes than they did before. So even if companies hire more people, the economic boost could be canceled out by higher income tax payment you will have to make by the fiscal year of 2012 to 2013. And Michigan residents will be paying $1.4 billion more in income taxes starting in the fiscal year of 2013. Michigan's earned income tax drops from 20 to 6%, and the average working family eligible for the credit will get about $130 a year instead of $430. Social Security payments and military pensions will not be taxed. Income from private pensions and 401ks won't be taxed up to $45,120 for single filers, about $90,000 for joint filers. Whether it's public or private, those born between 1946 and 1952 will have all retirement income liable to tax. But exemptions can be claimed for up to $20,000 for a single filer and $40,000 for joint filers. Retirement income will be taxed at the state income rate for 4.35%. And also, when a resident turns 67, the $20,000 and $40,000 exemption applies to all income. And the governor believes the changes will be a positive motivator. No word on how many jobs will be generated.
Yeah, no word on how many jobs will be generated. That's because there will be no jobs generated. Trust me, we'll have plenty of time to work through that throughout the year. All right, so thank you to Tara Edwards, Channel 7, for her preview. Now, as we were saying, the Iowa caucuses are tomorrow, and that begins the search for the Republican candidate on the ticket for the presidency of the great United States of America. Who will challenge Barack Obama? Well, that path, the journey. All of the debates, all of it is about what happens starting tomorrow in Iowa. Here is Newt Gingrich on why he feels that maybe he doesn't have quite as good a chance as he had a couple weeks ago.
If you calculate Tuesday night and the 5 years he's been campaigning, the total number of dollars Romney and his machine has spent per vote, it may be greater than the amount that Bloomberg spent getting reelected mayor.
Do you feel swift voted?
No, I feel
Romney-boated. Romney-boated, whatever that means, Romney-boated. So, Jeff, let's take a look here at what's happening in Iowa. Mitt Romney and Ron Paul are basically neck and neck. They're 2 percentage points apart, which puts them both in the margin of error. Rick Santorum not far behind that. The others are also Rands at this point. In fact, they're not even including John Huntsman in the polling totals just because he's not showing up in the poll, and I would suggest that if not after Iowa, certainly after New Hampshire, Michelle Bachmann and or the John Huntsman may pull out of the race. I would think. I don't know that to be a fact, but it doesn't look good for them. You know, there's what's interesting is that the person who normally wins the Iowa caucus does not normally win the opportunity to represent the Republicans in the race. So here's what might happen in this scenario. We'll talk to Mark Brewer about this a little bit later on in the show today, Jeff. But if Mitt Romney wins the Iowa caucus tomorrow and then in New Hampshire, I believe, on the 11th, chances are that gives him the momentum. And this may be all over very quickly after that. That may give him the momentum to get to capture the right to represent the Republican Party in the 2012 election cycle. If not, if things don't go Romney's way tomorrow and in New Hampshire, and that is certainly a possibility because the polling is so close, well, it's anybody's guess. It's all very odd. I don't know if we've ever gone into a, and maybe we have, but I don't ever remember going into the primary season, especially on the Republican side. You know, Democrats have sometimes been more pensive. Even in the last election cycle, they were. But Republicans are pretty much united behind, clearly united behind a candidate long before this, and we're just not seeing movement, not the kind of numbers that we would need to see.
You know what's crazy about all that is I was talking to people, you know, during our break, and Huntsman is actually the guy that, you know, people who are Democrats were like, yeah, you know, that guy actually makes, you know, out of all of the
GOP. How long have we been saying that?
Exactly. And so, if you're trying to unseat an incumbent, wouldn't you pick somebody that can pull a lot of moderate votes? I mean, it just seems nuts that you know, Huntsman isn't even getting a look.
Well, that has to, I mean, and whatever it says about Republican voters, it has to say something about them, right?
They want somebody super conservative representing their point, someone strong.
But do they? I mean, that's the question. I mean, do they really? Because without moderate voters, you can't win the presidency. You can't.
No, you're right. Maybe the voters want somebody like Huntsman, but the people that are pushing the candidates want somebody to represent their super conservative views, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, sure. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I really don't understand what current Republican voters are expecting, because they've been so inconsistent with their position. Maybe that's not true. Maybe they've been very consistent in saying, at least those that are being polled, saying that we want somebody that represents our conservative values. But what does that mean? I don't even know what that means anymore. Well, anyway, how did the GOP do this year? Well, the Democratic National Committee put together a list of the top 10, let's call them teachable moments of 2011, and we're going to kind of walk through them, starting with number 10. Go ahead and give me some audio, Jeff.
Number 10, Mitt Romney puts his money where his mouth is, a little too literally.
I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
You're still wrong.
It was true then.
No.
It's true now.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000?
I'm not in the betting business.
It just made him look like a Thurston Howell the Third side. Now, in his defense, it could have been worse. He could have said, I wager you to a foie gras eating contest. He didn't do that.
All right. That was number 10, a foie gras eating contest. No, number 9.
Number 9. Rick Perry apologizes for one of the most epic memory losses of all time.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
Okay, so commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA, there you go.
When crowdsourcing didn't work, Perry had to throw in the towel.
But you can't name the third one?
And let's see. I can't.
Oops. Thank you, Jesus. Oops.
Oops.
That is not the four-letter word I would have gone with. Oops. Like it's a juice box. Oops. Oh, my God. Oh, my chance to be president of the United States. Oops.
No, just class of stuff. You know, and out of the list, that this is my favorite one. But we have more. Go ahead, give us number 8.
Number 8. Herman Cain suffers from serious brain freeze.
So you agreed with President Obama on Libya or not?
Okay, Libya. President Obama supported the uprising, correct? I do not agree with the way he handled it for the following reasons. That's a different one. Got all this stuff twirling around him.
All right, that's good enough. That's our number 8. Of course, Herman Cain put himself out to pasture, and that's good. Let's go on with the next one.
Number 7, Mitt Romney explains himself, for Pete's sake.
We hired a lawn company to mow our lawn, and they had illegal immigrants that were working there. So we went to the company and we said, look, you can't have any illegals working on our property. I'm running for office, for Pete's sake. I can't have illegals.
So Mitt denied undocumented workers the privilege of mowing his lawn, not because it was against the law, but because...
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake. I can't have illegals.
God bless you, Mitt Romney. At least you have your priorities in order. Number 6, please.
Number 6. Herman Cain draws inspiration from an unusual source.
This is my favorite. My second favorite.
Life can be a challenge.
Life can seem impossible.
Life can seem impossible.
Oh, my God. Please pay attention.
It's never easy.
When so much is on the line.
When there's so much on the line. And I believe these words came from the Pokemon movie.
Jeff?
That's hilarious. I never even heard that song before until now.
Oh, my God.
How funny is that? So he got that from the Pokemon movie, and his 999 plan came from the Sims video game. Like,
this is better. This is even better than the G.I. Jane one. I mean, this is just that is just too much quoting the Pokemon movie theme song. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Thank you, GOP. More to get to on the other side.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDPW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Virg Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock in the morning. A lot of good stuff yet to come today. State Representative Harvey Santana joining us at 7 o'clock. We'll look forward to that. We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning, pal.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one.
The first one? Oh my God.
What a delight and a privilege. So. This is going to be a good day. I can see that right now. A, I'm off, and B, I can listen to your show without static. I'm listening to you over the internet. So, it's like I was telling Junior there, as soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it, I'm burning it to CDs, and I'm mailing it out to some friends of mine. So
you're the man.
Rolling, laughing, and spitting up in my coffee. So.
Well, you know, we can all be inspired, Jeff, by the Pokemon movie theme song.
Exactly.
Is that just not one of the funniest things you've ever heard?
No. Lately, the funniest thing I heard was Chris Matthews when he's talked about the Republican Party. He said, it's like going to a party and everybody's plastered. So the one that you're going to vote for is the least drunk to let drive.
There you go. Well, listen, I appreciate the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to send you an email later on today. We're going to get together for dinner for sure.
Sounds good.
Absolutely get that put, put together. And just stay tuned because I want to get to the rest of these. Stay tuned. We got some good ones to come. Thanks so much for.
They're better than what you had.
Oh, there's some good stuff yet to come. You just wait and see.
I am.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much for the call. All right, Radford, let's go back to the audio. Give me the next clip.
Number 5. Mitt Romney tries his hand at comedy.
Also, to my story, I'm also unemployed.
are you on LinkedIn?
And I'm networking. But I have my sight at a particular job I'm working for, so I know exactly what I mean.
I guess that's true. He is unemployed. He's looking for a job, namely to become the president of the United States.
That's deeply insulting. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars in his bank, and he is not unemployed at all.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's so much funny as it is sad. Actually, it is sad that he would even suggest that he is unemployed, which technically is true, but sweet God, really, Mitt? Really? All right, number 4, please.
Number 4. Donald Trump jumps on the birther bandwagon.
Why doesn't he show his birth certificate?
Never one for modesty, Trump touted his smarts as the reason he wanted to see the certificate.
I was a really good student at the best school. I'm not like a smart guy, okay?
I want him to show his birth certificate. There's something on that birth certificate that he doesn't like.
Oh, my God. I think that's the biggest pile of dog mess I've heard in ages.
And by the way, Donald Trump has not let go of the birther argument. And in fact, if he does join the race as an independent, I can promise you that will be on his list. Number 2, please.
Number 3.
They're number 3. Yeah.
Ron Paul explains how he really feels about liberty.
Are you suggesting that heroin and prostitution are an exercise of liberty?
What you're inferring is, you know what? If we legalized heroin tomorrow, everybody's going to use heroin. Oh, yeah, I need the government to take care of me. I don't want to use heroin, so I need these laws.
I never thought heroin would get applause here in South Carolina.
And sure enough, it did. I got to tell you, Ron Paul, and all you Ron Paul people, God bless you, because you are a very special breed. There's no question that's true. Well, it kind of speaks for itself. Let's go with the next clip, please.
Number 2. Newt Gingrich suggests poor children learn how to be responsible citizens.
Really poor children in really poor neighborhoods have no habits of working. and have nobody around them who works? What if they became assistant janitors and their job was to mop the floor and clean the bathroom?
It was Newt's choice of work locations that really made his idea crazy.
Why does it have to be in a bathroom cleaning toilets? Why can't it be the public library?
Well, good question. And, well, you know what, Newt, maybe that explains, maybe you weren't being Romney-voted. Maybe it's actually your view on issues. And, of course, number one will be of no surprise once you hear it. And I still to this day don't get why Mitt Romney is even a serious candidate after this.
And finally, the number one moment in GOP ridiculousness this year. Mitt Romney claims big corporations are just like you and me.
We could raise taxes on people. That's not the way. Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on. Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So, where do you think it goes? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friend.
Corporations are people, my friend. They're like members of your family, your brother, fax machine, your Uncle Ben, your Aunt Annie, your Mama Celeste, your GoDaddy.
But it turns out most Iowans think differently.
Think corporations are people?
Well, I mean, no. Gracious, no.
You can't define them the same way. That's a ridiculous notion.
No, corporations are not people. That's one of the silliest things I've ever heard.
Those are your top 10 greatest GOP moments of 2011.
And I want to thank the Democratic National Committee for putting together that list. Really very entertaining. No question that's true. Don't forget, corporations are people. I don't know how anybody can take Mitt Romney seriously after that, although it does make sense in the context of Citizens United. And in that regard, it makes a great deal of sense. And, of course, these are very Republican conservative notions and ideas. And it's just very interesting. So what happens, over the next couple of weeks, again, it will be very interesting if Mitt Romney wins the Iowa caucuses, and again, as I said, wins in New Hampshire next week, then I think that this is pretty much over, and, you know, quickly we will go to a one-man race as we work our way through the primary season.
You know what, this list that we just did was pretty good, but we could have put together some of ours, remember, because we include things like this.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Hank Williams Jr.
How about Chris Wallace and Bachman? Are you a flake? That was one of my favorite
ones.
Good.
I know you really enjoyed that one. I still can't believe that he asked her that question.
Oh, that was great. And then how about recently, Rick Perry just called himself Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's true. That was just a couple weeks ago. You're right. So, well, it'd be really interesting to see how this thing all plays out because we already know that Mitt Romney head-to-head with Barack Obama doesn't fare very well. And so he's going to have a real hard time, facing the president. I think the president is just now starting to come into his own. The economy's starting to rebound a little bit. The work that he's done, the president's done to help us reinvigorate the economy is also helping to provide jobs. And we can't forget, especially here in Michigan, that without the president's loan program that allowed the auto companies to stay solvent, we were able to create dynamic jobs here in the state of Michigan and keep the major corporations open and now thriving. So his vision, of course, helped make that happen. It'll be interesting to see how this thing swings out as we move forward. All right, a quick break here for the top of the hour. When we continue, State Representative Harvey Santana joins us for his monthly visit. A lot to get to in the next hour. You'll want to stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano, and this is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers, because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Tea Party guy, by the way.
Next time
time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Breaking news this hour, Los Angeles police have detained a person of interest for questioning in a suspected arson spree. CNN's Casey Wyan reports his producer went to the place where the man was detained.
He saw a white male with a ponytail in the back of a sheriff's department vehicle. We asked a captain with the Los Angeles Fire Department here at the command center, and he said they are speaking with a person of interest. That's all they would tell us.
It's unclear if the man in the car is the same man seen in a surveillance video released by authorities. At least 8 new car fires erupted in Hollywood and Van Nuys early today. The additional fires bring the total number of blazes in the Los Angeles area to 47, the most since the city's riots in 1992. Dozens of people are being escorted out of Mount Rainier National Park as authorities there search for a man they say shot and killed a park ranger. The shooting happened yesterday with the suspect escaping into the woods. In less than 2 days, we'll know who won the first contest in the race for the Republican nomination for president. Rick Santorum Sunday slammed frontrunner Mitt Romney for touting his business experience.
He may have business experience, but you're not the CEO of the country. You're the commander-in-chief of the country. That's your principal responsibility. He has absolutely no experience in that regard. I do.
The final poll by the Des Moines Register shows Romney in first, Ron Paul second, and Santorum in third. 200 birds have been found dead in a small Arkansas city for the second straight New Year's Eve. Last year, 5,000 blackbirds fell from the sky. A wildlife official says someone may have purposely set off fireworks near the birds. The stock market closed today in observance of the New Year's holiday. In 2011, the Dow had a net gain of 640 points, or about 5.5%. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
As a proud father of 5 daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
What automaker should you watch in the new year? Tesla has another mass-market electric car due out, the Model S sedan.
They're saying that by the end of the year, they'll be in full production.
Marty Pageant, he covers the auto industry for High Gear Media.
We're actually looking forward to it. We've driven a couple of prototypes, and it's a pretty exciting machine.
And those hip-hop hamsters could make 2012 another hot year for Kia.
The dancing hamsters have done a lot for their brand image, but you know, more to the point, it's the real strength at Kia is all the family cars that they've come out with.
Cars priced right for today's frugal consumers.
Really the heart of the market, between $20,000 and $25,000, and they're building excellent products to fit that niche.
So I guess the dancing hamsters must be happy, huh?
They're happy enough to keep coming back. We're not sure when they're finally going to get retired, but they're doing well now.
I'm John Werdock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
And now from Dice.com, the career hub for tech. How 30 seconds can make a difference to a tech career. A brief symposium. You could spend 30 seconds forwarding a funny video to a colleague. Impact? A lukewarm high five in the hallway.
You could flirt with the new receptionist.
Hey, how's it going?
Impact? A stern reprimand from HR. And 2 hours of mandatory sensitivity training. Or you could upload your resume to Dice.com, the top site for tech jobs.
Dice has over 80,000 of the best jobs in tech. Find tech jobs from the hottest companies, from Adobe to Zynga. Plus, take advantage of videos, news, tips, and a suite of tools to boost your career. So the next time you have 30 seconds, spend them wisely. Dice.com, the career hub for tech.
My wife has lung cancer. Like more and more lung cancer patients, she never smoked. It's hard to be encouraged. The overall survival rate for lung cancer is 15%, where it was decades ago. Lung cancer is my own personal sadness, but it's a sadness shared with 225,000 new families every year. Numbers, I know. But my number has a face, a smile, hands I love to hold. For families touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. Ignoring this disease is costing thousands of lives every year. 1 in 14 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime. Will you or a loved one be next? It's time to do something about lung cancer. Go to lungcancerleaders.org to join the fight. That's lungcancerleaders.org.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Happy 2012 to you. A pleasure to be with you as we begin a new year. And, again, filled with hope and possibility. I trust that we've been together long enough now that you know that what we plan to do includes you. And in that process, you have a responsibility. That responsibility, as I said from day one, wasn't about just showing up anymore. It's about standing up. And certainly my guest in this hour, at least my first guest in this hour, exemplifies that standing up in a huge way. We will remind you that a little bit later on at 7:50, we will be touching base with Occupy Detroit, and I want to remind you that we are recommitting to our partnership with the Occupy Detroit folks, as they are focused and will be an important part of leading as we head into 2012 and beyond. And so let us we got a little new production while we were on vacation. So let's go ahead and introduce our next guest. Go ahead, Jeff.
Uncommon in his approach and starkly honest in his words.
Cameron Daly on the House floor says, look, you got to be careful what you say. So what the hell are you talking about? Says some people took offense to your comments. I says, look, I raise issues.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves legislative leadership that is unique.
I'm not going to back down. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say it because that's what the people of the 10th District sent me up there to do.
From the 10th District, State Representative Harvey Santana.
And he does join us this morning, and State Representative Harvey Santana, thanks for being with us. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Tony. Happy New Year to 1310. It's great to be here. I'm excited. Weather's not as warm as I want it to be, but hey, we're going to work through it, brother.
Somebody reminded me yesterday that it's time of year that we need to get over. Actually, it's been kind of warm, Harvey. I mean, you stop and take a look at it. In fact, I was even looking, although it's cold today and we're going to get some, we may get some snow a little later on today and tomorrow. It's supposed to be in the 40s by the end of the week.
I'll tell you, if you don't believe in global warming, I think this season kind of did away with that notion.
You know, I was reading an article late last week about people that are in the snow business, the skis, people that have ski slopes and people that sell all that stuff and snowboarding and all that, and they're having a horrible year, down 90% over last year.
You know,
Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does.
There was a point in my life when, you know, being Puerto Rican, I love hot weather. I mean, that's just who I am. And I would go to some of these sports stores and look for, like, discounted equipment after the season's over, like on snowboards and stuff like that. Because I figured, okay, the next season, I could probably use this to get out of the basement. This year, I've walked into some of these sports stores. I haven't even seen the stuff on display.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a turn.
Yeah, it's been of course it could all change because it's Michigan. It could all change next week.
Give it 5 minutes.
That's right. You know, we may find, you know, 10 or 20 inches of snow on the ground as they do in Traverse City this morning. Listen, Happy New Year to you.
Likewise.
We've got a new year, and that brings on new priorities, some old realities, though. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about that. You go back into session on January 11th.
Yes.
And being just the 2nd of January, that gives you 9 more days. Knowing you, I'm sure that you've been active in your district while you've been on vacation. I've hoped, and I'm sure you've taken some time to just spend with your family, as I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
But you know, and, you know, it goes back to something that you are all about, which is progress. So let's take if we can take a little bit of a look back, and then we'll take a bit of a look forward. It's got to be a little disappointing from a legislative standpoint, as you and I have talked about, unfortunately, in many past visits, Harvey. You know, as a Democrat in this House, you just don't have much of a voice.
No, I mean it's pretty tough, Tony. The fact of the matter is, our government right now is controlled by Republicans, and you can inject all of the facts, all of the logic, all of the reasoning into the thought process, but it's kind of like being under, you know, the boards. All they're doing is strong-arming you out of the way. And, you know, I saw this in the item pricing debate. You know, we never believed what they were saying, so we went out and did our own fact-checking. When we found out that this was a bunch of, you know, garbage, they came back and said, so what? We got the votes. We're going to push it and so on and so forth. Now it's being hailed as one of the top 10 greatest legislative achievements of this year. I'm like, how?
Yeah, I saw that in the Free Press. I thought that was very interesting.
How? It was a lie. It was based on false information. I mean, on a false notion. I mean, come on, get out of here.
Well, let's remind this audience that you are going to be replicating that study that you did a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, down to the very stores that you went to, the products that you that you measured. So this is going to be, I mean, an exact duplicate of what you did a year ago.
Yeah, just to prove the point, again, that the prices haven't gone down, that this study that we're replicating is going to show people that, you know, in the end, look, I went to the store the other day to buy some protein powders. I'm back in the gym. And there was no price on the shelf. There was no price on the thing. So I went to the guy and says, how much is this? He was aggravated. And so I kept asking him, why are you aggravated? He goes, you know, I wish we just had those stickers on there because it would stop a lot of people from asking me how much stuff is. And when it's not on the shelf and then it is on the shelf, it just gets aggravating because then the people got to look at the bottle and then they got to look at the shelf price and then they got to go through this whole process where it was so easy just to grab it, look at $39.99 and go to the counter.
Absolutely.
I mean, it takes up more time and it frustrates the employees more. It just doesn't do much for customer service.
I had somebody sent me an email over. In fact, we replayed, because we did best of shows last week, we replayed the last time you were on with us and we talked about item pricing. Some guy had sent me an email, didn't realize that the show was an older show, and I did respond to it, but he sent me an email, in fact, told me he was a Republican, very much against what the Republicans did with item pricing, and he pointed out that the electronic price tags are even worse because they know certain times of the day they have certain patterns in the store. So as an example, he used a gallon of milk. They know, let's say, that between 3 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon they sell more milk. With the electronic price tags, they can automatically bump it 20 cents a gallon, and then after 5 o'clock drop it 20 cents a gallon. And they can easily do that, and it's legal to do, and there's nothing to stop them from doing it. And he says that it's happening all over metropolitan Detroit, where they have electronic price tags.
You know, this is amazing. This is a learning moment for me. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. Instead of finding ways to fix Michigan's economy, we're finding ways to innovatively get more money out of people.
Yeah. God, I mean, that is exactly what happened. And again, the promise was, let's, you know, remind people, what was the promise of eliminating item pricing?
Oh, it was going to bring down prices. It was going to create more work efficiency. You're going to get people to do, instead of putting stickers on individual items, you can get them to do other stuff, free them up to do more customer service. It was going to be this big spur. We were going to save $1.2 billion in Michigan money. So it was a whole lot of stuff.
Well, right. Okay. So now we, you know, again, going back, and of course, you're just confirming the point that you were making, that the Republicans really don't care about saving the taxpayers' dollars.
It's about agenda.
And the agenda, you know, let me, I'm just going to throw out the phrase that I use, follow the money. Is there some truth to that in the Republican politics? I mean, is this about, if we follow the money, are we going to find that, you know, a lot of these folks got a lot of money from corporations?
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I mean, why are we having a debate about another bridge? It was so locked up because, you know, particular people invest a lot of money in certain candidates to get them to say no.
We need a bridge.
I believe we do.
Creates a lot of jobs, doesn't it?
Hey, 40,000, 10,000 immediate jobs and 40 more in a ripple wave effect. I mean, what else do you got up your sleeve?
All right. So, you know, this is, okay, one of those issues where you stop and you got to take a deep breath and say, well, the governor wants a new bridge.
Right.
Whether he can do this from in an executive order, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that stuff, Harvey, so I don't know. I don't know that you know that. But all I know is that all the feasibility studies are done. There are footings on the Canadian side of the bridge. There are plans to already put footings in on the American side. This is a project that can literally be a turnkey operation within 30 days.
Look, I prior to being an elected representative, I worked on that study for 5 years as part of the consultant team for MDOT. And I've been in Delray for that amount of time. I grew up in the area, so I know what that area is like. The neighborhood itself is being decimated just through time because, you know, it's an impoverished neighborhood. Things are burning up. Things are falling off the face of the earth. When I look at that community, when I look at Southwest Detroit, when I look at Southeastern Michigan, the issue that we have, Tony, is that we have to shift our economy. We're going from, you know, assembly line 2, bolt number 3, wrench number 4, to moving products faster, cheaper, safer in and out of the marketplace. When you look at the fact that we have an Ambassador Bridge, we have a tunnel, we have a railroad site down there, we have freeways, and we have the possibility of bringing in another bridge, and we have, you know, Wayne County Airport with the Project Aerotropolis that at some point will take off. We're moving products, man. That's what we need to get in the habit of doing. And no one else has our geography. No one else has our infrastructure, and that's what businesses are looking for. Why we're having a debate and stalling on this conversation of building another bridge is all pure politics.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. Sir. Harvey Santana, our guest, State Representative Harvey Santana, our guest. Happy 2012 to you. Folks, feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers, because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with on 1310 WDTW.
Tea Party guy, by the way.
Introducing the reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's the most technologically advanced Camry ever. With the available N-Tune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, which gives you more than 750 radio stations from around the country. The reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you? Learn more at toyota.com/Camry.
Be sure to obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road and traffic conditions. Not available on all models. Data charges may apply. See toyota.com/N-Tune for details.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us. Like us. Love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And feel free to join us 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest, State Representative Harvey Santana, 888-552-3595, talking during the break, Representative Santana, about the fix. I don't know if it's the fix, but the panel has been assembled to decide what to do with the city of Detroit. There's no question the city of Detroit has financial problems. There's no question that this is a decades-long problem. There's no question that we're headed toward something, and I don't know if it's a brick wall or a solution. But I do find it interesting that the panel that they put together was all black.
Well, I struggled with that. And I looked at it and I says, well, I don't know who was in the room when the decisions got made. I would have hoped that there was more inclusion of others involved in the process. I mean, Detroit certainly has Hispanics, Arabs, white folk that live in the city, people with a lot of different backgrounds that can help in the process. But what I think this panel is, and this does not go to disrespect anybody on the panel. I mean, those guys are top-notch people.
Yeah, no question.
These are
that's
people
true.
With years of institutional knowledge, all kinds of expertise, all types of, you know, experience. And I would never go toe-to-toe with one of them because I'm clearly out of my league when it comes to those folks. And I have faith in them. But what I do see politically is that, you know, the governor was in trouble. So was the treasurer. They needed to answer for this. And so they went and got a group of people that they felt could deliver bad news to the masses. And this is who they selected. And, you know, they all have sterling reputations. But at the end of the day, The governor needed someone to deliver his message, and this is who he tapped into.
You know, even some of your colleagues came out and said, although we oppose an emergency financial manager, we really do want to thank the governor for putting together such a thoughtful group of community leaders.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against, you know, the resumes that you see in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely, but it doesn't, none of that solves the problem. And you know, that takes us back to how do we solve this?
Yeah, the issues of Detroit, and the finances are so complex. When you look at the big numbers, when you look at the long-term debt obligation, when you look at we have 12,000 employees paying the retirements of 20,000 folk, and I think it was in the paper today, it was that the average employee pays, I think, $10,000 for retirements or something like that. It's very complicated. And when you have a city that has steadily declining population, you're having to do more with less over a big area, 128 square, miles of terrain. It's very, very difficult. And the problem isn't so much finding the solution. The problem in Public Act 4, as we discussed on the break, to me, is the fundamental root of democracy. You know, and I said this on the break, I'm disappointed with the Tea Party. I really am.
Right.
You know, they came out like sluggers. They came out of that corner like they were really ready to knock your head off. These are the guys that you look on their campaign literature, you see liberty. You see freedom. You see we love America. Stand up for America. But yet, they voted for a law that creates totalitarian governments. That's exactly what they did. And so I don't know how you, as a member of the Tea Party, can look in the mirror and say, I still believe in freedom and liberty, when you say liberty and freedom for some, but enslavement for others because you can't vote. We're going back to pre-civil rights. So that is the problem, fundamentally, that I have with this issue. I also believe, Tony, that Detroiters can solve Detroiters' own problems. And I believe that the talent is there. I mean, if it only took you a handful of weeks to find 10 people to put on a panel, why couldn't you find 10 people a long time ago when you were thinking about this plan to start doing this from the very beginning? That's the problem that I have.
Well, and you've got to wonder, at what level has this been about egos? Again, this is not a problem that is that started with Dave Bing or Kwame Kilpatrick or Dennis Archer. You know, we have to go back decades, mm-hmm. And again, I understand, and I have a real issue, and tell you, that's the liberal Democrat in me, but I have a real issue. We've made a promise, this legacy cost we talk about, we've made a promise to generations of people that serve the city of Detroit as in their employment contracts. And that promise was when they retired, they would receive their package, whatever that package was that they were promised. And I realize that we've saw in the steel industry, we saw in the airline industry, where these industries go bankrupt, these folks get their benefits taken away from them, and they're lucky to get anything when all is said and done. I would hate to see that happen to these hardworking folks.
You know what this is like? I run marathons. And so you register to run the Detroit Free Press Marathon, as an example. And you set a goal for yourself. You're going to train for several months. You're going to diet. You're going to do all of these things. And when you sign the contract to run for the marathon, you know, at the end of the marathon, you're going to get a medal, you're going to get a towel, you're going to get a bottle of Gatorade. And they're going to say, congratulations, you know, on your accomplishment. Now, you set a time goal. For me, it would be 3 hours, 15 minutes. And you run, and you make that time goal in 3 hours. Well, when you cross the finish line, there's no medal, there's no towel, and there's no Gatorade. And you look around and say, well, where's my stuff? The people say, hey, congratulations. Not only did you not qualify for the Boston Marathon because we changed the time limitation, you should have been here in 2 hours and 30 minutes, but we also changed the rules at mile 23.
Ah.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. That's not what I signed up for. The rule said this. This is what I invested my time in. It says, yeah, we understand, but, you know, certain things happen. Wait a minute. That's not my fault. And so it goes to your point. And this is a difficult conversation because, again, I'm not the accountant, I'm not the finance expert to really know, but I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000, and here we are today, paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was, not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start, you know, living. Look, there's no holy water and deodorant that can clean up this problem. It just isn't.
Well, let me tell you, here's and I want to go to the latest police contract, which took away the pension, all right? And basically, they said to the police officers and that they agreed to this kind of blew my mind, but maybe it is that new financial reality, Harvey. Maybe they said, all right, you're going to get your 401k, and that's it. That's all you're going to get, and be happy to get it. And so they said, yeah, we're going to do that. At the same time, the question you have to ask yourself is that the kind of is a brand new Detroit police officer, and that's his deal, and he knows he's going to get paid $30,000 a year plus whatever he contributes to his 401k. The question I have to ask myself is that the kind of cop that's going to invest in my community? Is he not going to make a career out of being a Detroit cop? I want my police and my firemen. My firefighters to be loyal to my community. I don't see loyalty there, Harvey. And I think that I don't care who we apply it to, whether it's the guy that's picking up my garbage or whoever it may be, that I'm not seeing a real reflection in that collective bargaining agreement that says I'm willing to make a commitment to that city. We got to take a break. We'll come back and address that after that. Harvey Santana, my guest, we're going to get to the phones as well. Charles, stay where you're at. We will get to you in just a minute. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Iowa's Republican presidential caucus will be decided Tuesday as Mitt Romney and Ron Paul continue to lead the GOP pack there. Ask Me Iowa political rep Marcia Nichols says no matter which of these candidates win the GOP nomination, the candidate is likely to be damaged goods.
I think that you're going to see a damaged goods person. And the reason I say that is because even the right-wing portion of the Republican Party doesn't like Romney. So I think it's going to be extremely difficult for him to recover from what the conservative wing of the party has been doing to him in Iowa and New Hampshire, and then turn around and have to take on President Obama. I think things are turning around in this country, and Obama's poll numbers are going up.
Americans United for Change has launched the Romney Gecko 2012 presidential ticket with a video called Morning on Wall Street. Spokesperson Lauren Wiener.
Romney has a long history of job killing in the private sector, and we think that that needs a lot of attention, and so we're going to try to do that with this campaign.
You can check out the Greed is Good Romney Gecko ticket at romneygecko.com.
And under the leadership of Mitt Romney and Gordon Gecko, the 1% will be richer, stronger, and better off. Even if the rest of us are unemployed, homeless, and hungry. It's morning again on Wall Street.
Wisconsin's Recall Walker movement will be collecting signatures at the Rose Bowl in California to recall the governor as the Badgers take on the Ducks on the field. A recall rally will be held before the game. At least 507,533 signatures have already been collected toward the needed total of 540,208 by January 17th. Walker is being recalled for stripping collective bargaining rights from public workers in Wisconsin.
SEIU-32BJ in New York City has reached a tentative agreement on a new labor contract for 22,000 building workers, averting a potential strike. Hector Figueroa, secretary-treasurer of the local, says it's an important victory not only for office cleaners and their families, but for New York City and its economy. The tentative deal would increase wages 5.6% over the four-year life of the contract, and it maintains fully employer-paid family health care coverage. In the last 3 months, SEIU has won multi-year contracts for more than 50,000 workers from Hartford, Connecticut to Virginia in a campaign to promote good jobs and stronger communities. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the Office and Professional Employees International Union and by the United Mine Workers of America. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest. We'll get back to the long diatribe before the break in just a moment. But let's go to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, thanks for punching in with us this morning. Happy New Year to you, sir. What's on your mind?
Happy New Year. Well, I want to thank Representative Santana for characterizing that dictator law and the hypocrisy of the Tea Party in allowing such an un-American and unpatriotic law to be imposed on cities in Michigan. The Constitution, if I say briefly, the Constitution does have a provision which it violates because I can't remember the number, but they can't amend the charter of a city without a vote of the electors of the city. And the trouble is the current Supreme Court, I don't know whether they're up to the ethical challenge on that. But I also want to mention, ask Representative Santana, what is the long-term debt of the state of Michigan? Because we've been in one state recession for many years. I've got an article in 2007 here, but it was before that. The state of Michigan and then Jennifer Granholm's got rid of something, billions, $14 billion or more in debt, supposedly, by her Wikipedia biography page. And so Michigan, I want to say that the state of Michigan's fiscal irresponsibility doesn't put it in a position to be talking about Detroit as fiscally irresponsible. But the whole thing goes back to recession. Detroit was in recession for all these years. So it's not the fault of removing the elected official. The elected official did not cause Detroit's situation to go down. And it was not Detroit's elected official's fiscal irresponsibility that caused the current situation.
Well, Charles, what do you feel did cause it?
Well, we had don't forget, Michigan was in a recession for all these. The reason the population is going down and there aren't jobs, but that's because of the private sector. I mean, the private sector is responsible for Michigan being in this article says that it goes back to 2000, year 2000, and then Detroit has been in for 35 years. and that is not the fault of the city council.
All right, Charles.
That is private sector not providing jobs in Detroit.
Let's let the representative address that. Thanks so much for your call, Charles.
Well, good morning, Charles, and Happy New Year to you, brother. I would tell you this, the problems of Detroit, it's like a stew, It takes a lot of ingredients to make the stew happen. And unfortunately, we had too many of the bad ingredients all at one time that it's now come to a simmer. I believe you're accurate. The fact is that these jobs have left the state of Michigan. They've left Detroit and have left a big hole. Not only did jobs leave, people left. When you look at the census numbers between 70, 80, 80, and 90, 90, and 2000, now 2000 in 2010. We've had a steady decline in our population. And so the tax base is gone. And there's just so many things that are hitting us one at a time, and now it's all at one time. I don't know, and we were talking about this during the break. I don't know what the, at the end, I don't know what the deliverable is. I don't know how to get to a point where we can say we've made it. I don't know what that even looks like. I think that as elected officials, we're all making this stuff up as we go along, because I haven't seen the long-term plan. I don't even know if the mayor has a long-term plan
right
now.
I don't know
that
anybody has a long-term plan.
Yeah, that's the point. And so, again, if I got to get to the end of the marathon, 26.2 miles, I got to know what the route is, and I haven't seen the route to understand, are there hills, are there valleys, and am I going to have a long straightaway, am I going to have too many curves? I don't know what's going on here, and it's very complicated. But to go to his other question about the long-term debt of Michigan, I don't know, and you're going to have to forgive me. I'll have to give that answer next time I come on, because, and I apologize, because, you know, there are so many parts of the Michigan government that it'll take you another 8 years to figure out how it works. I just don't know how to finance part
of it
works.
This is exactly why I am opposed to term limits.
I tell you, it takes so much time to really sink your teeth in and understand what this stuff is all about. And the financing part, just haven't gotten it yet. The politics, yeah. Working with people, yeah. Partisan politics, yeah. But the nuts and bolts of it, that takes a while because it's complex.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, anyway, Charles, thank you for your call. And unfortunately, there's no simple answer to that, and there's no simple answer to this whole equation. Let's talk in the few minutes that we do have left a little bit about what we can expect in 2012. Obviously, you're up for re-election. I'm assuming you're going to run for re-election.
Yeah, we spent the holiday season getting ready for that, doing some last-minute fundraising and getting our plan in order and getting all our paperwork together and make sure all the boxes are checked, and we feel good. We feel good. We have a good record. If you look at the Michigan legislature, we've passed 8 Democratic bills. 2 of them are mine. We've worked very hard. I spent the entire year working on my corrections reform legislation that I have already introduced, and I'm going to be working to see if we can get a hearing on that and get some more feedback into it. I've got members on the other side of the aisle that like it. And people on our side of the aisle that understand the need for it. Senator Bert Johnson introduced it as well in the Senate, so he's working it from both angles. I've picked an unlikely ally, Senator Pat Kolbeck, Tea Party member from Canton Way.
Right.
We sat down. He really likes what we're trying to do. So we're working. We're working to make sure that we can make a good bipartisan effort with that. Looking forward, I'll tell you, the main priority of the House Democrats is to take back the majority. Bottom line, that's it. That's what we're focused on, and that's what all our efforts are geared towards. We're recruiting, candidates. We're making sure that they're out there and they're solid. I'm working with 2 myself, coaching them along, making sure they're motivated and that they're doing what they got to do. So
yeah, you're putting them through a boot camp.
You got that right. I mean, if you want to do this job, you have to understand what fully comes with this job. There's long hours, countless conversations. You're constantly asking people, to donate to your campaign. You're constantly working on legislation that you said you were going to introduce and, try to get passed when you got there. You're constantly reading, understanding what bills are coming out so that when you vote on something, you know what you're voting on. And, there's a large part of this. And if I had to look at my greatest, success point in the last year, it's been the fact that I've been true to myself. I mean, I have not sold myself out, and I haven't sold the people of the 10th District out. I say what I mean what I say, and I stand up when something needs to be said. And I don't think you'll find a member on either side of the aisle that would dispute that.
And we know that to be true. We do, Harvey. We know that to be true. And I think it's important that as we, you talk about recruiting candidates, you are, I thought, crazy enough to give out your cell phone number the last time you were here, and you were actually getting, an enormous amount of phone call. I mean, every break, people were calling you. I don't know that you got any serious candidates out of that, and whether you did or you didn't is really irrelevant. What I find fascinating about that is that I think that more than ever, people are energized and want to be engaged in democracy, because that's very much what that's about. I would think, as somebody that is recruiting good candidates, that you want to make sure that they're smart because, as you just said, they need to learn a whole lot in a real short period of time. There's no ramp-up period anymore.
No, there isn't. I mean, and when you look at my background, I have 10 years of private sector experience and some more in public sector experience. I went through the military, you know, all the way through a master's degree. And so, you know, I came with a lot. And I consider myself a pretty smart guy at times, and I'm very savvy.
And you continue to educate yourself. I want to make that clear to people as well. I mean, you've traveled the country. You're going to conventions. I mean, you're continuing to gather knowledge.
Yeah, and so you're constantly working, trying to figure things out, trying to look for the solutions, trying to look for amicable ways to come to an agreement with the other side on certain issues. But it takes a lot of time to understand this job, and you really have to dive into it. So for me, if you're going to run for public office, you're going to be a candidate for this office, you really have to understand the commitment level that it takes to really serve the public and what it takes to really understand what is not so much on a piece of paper, but what's beyond the words. What is the intent? What is the spirit of what's being passed? I mean, if you look at Public Act 4, on its face, it seems like a solution, which is the emergency manager law.
Right.
But beyond that, come on, this is an introduction of dictatorship, of totalitarian government. It's fascinating to see how people react to certain things.
Well, you know, I think 2012 presents beyond just trying to find good candidates. And I don't know, what is the number to get back the House, to get the majority? Do you know what that number
is?
We
want to flip 20 seats.
20 seats. 20 and that's seats. Really not that hard. I mean, it's a huge task, but it's not, I mean, it's certainly
not
very
not with
doable.
All the materials the Republicans gave us to work with.
But you know what? We know voters aren't that smart. And God bless you. And I, if I offended you out there, I don't care. Voters are not that smart. They don't always vote the way we need them to vote.
You know, I always engaged the voters at the door. And when I did radio shows and when I was out public speaking, I asked people, you know what? Push Harvey Santana. Challenge Harvey Santana. Ask Harvey Santana complicated questions. Push him to the very edge to see if this guy really knows what he's talking about, if his heart's really into it. Because this is your test. If you can't deal with what voters are asking you to deal with, if you can't answer those questions, you don't even have a clue, what do you think is going to happen when you get in a room full of 110 people?
Well, Harvey, you know, I gave a speech last week, a week before last, early in the week, and I told people, you know, whether it's your union president, whether it's your school board, whether it's your city council, your state rep, your congressman, ask them the questions that matter to you. And if you don't like the answers, you can't vote for them. I don't care what letter comes after their name, an R or D. Then go out and find a candidate that does represent. We'll see you in February.
Yes, sir.
All right. State Representative Harvey Santana, thank you so very much. We are going to take a quick break here. When we continue, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift for the first time in 2012. It's a pleasure to be back with you. We enjoyed our time off. The heavy lifting's in front of us. We're ready. Don't worry. We're recharged. We'll take the break and be right back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trubiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trubiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for great?
First Shift with Tony Trubiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trubiano on Twitter. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
And we're back. I'll explain it all later, I promise. We're back. Tony Trupiano with you. Happy 2012 to everybody. I'm really hoping everybody had a great holiday. Had a chance to recharge the batteries, as we did. And certainly, as we are ready to work our way through 2012, there is a lot to do. One of those things is to recommit, if you will, to those things, especially here on First Shift, that worked for us in 2011. One of those things that worked in a big way was our partnership with Occupy Detroit. We have branded 750 every day as Occupy Detroit time, and we'll of course, want to just recommit to doing that. And so here we go. In fact, our first word today was revival. And we're reviving that partnership from 2011. Joining us now from Occupy Detroit is Justin Clark. And Justin, a pleasure to have you on as our first guest from Occupy Detroit in the year 2012.
Well, thank you for having us on, Tony.
That's truly a pleasure. Now, of course, there are some things that are, you know, old or are new again, and here we are in the year 2012. One of those things is the ongoing fight of the Henrys, and of course, everybody that listens to this show that's been following that issue. We had the Henrys on this show. We know that there's been an ongoing battle to try to save their home. Again, these are people that can afford to live where they're living. We also know that Bank of America and Fannie Mae have done their best to confuse this issue, put the Henrys in the situation they're in. Justin, can you give us a little update on what's going on with the Henrys?
Absolutely. The Henrys were originally supposed to be evicted on January 2nd. However, that's certainly not going to happen anymore.
They're supposed to be evicted today, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's gone now. There was a court hearing that was scheduled for today as well, that has also been canceled as the judge recluded himself from the case. As it stands right now, the pressure on Bank of America has encouraged Bank of America to work with the Henrys. And what they've done, more or less, is throw the responsibility on Fannie Mae. So it's really going to come down to what Fannie Mae chooses to do, whether they choose to work with the Henrys or whether they choose to be stubborn.
Well, you know, ultimately, I don't understand, Justin. Clearly the Henrys can afford to live in their home. So this is simply a matter of just remodifying the mortgage, letting them get back on their path, and letting them pay their mortgage. I mean, it really is that simple, Justin.
Right. It absolutely is. What makes it worse is that the mortgage that they're paying into right now is for a home value that doesn't exist anymore. All of our homes are much cheaper than they were 5 years ago. And banks simply won't work with the homeowners to give them a fair opportunity to pay into a home with a current value. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this just, of course, this makes no sense. So what is Occupy Detroit going to do to try to help rectify this wrong?
Well, our next large event that we're doing is on January 3rd, tomorrow. It's at 10 a.m. At the Helen's Hall, the Henry's Home. The Henry's live on 13694 Helen Street in Southgate, Michigan. And we're going to all meet there. Everyone is invited, of course. And we're going to start at the Henry's Home and then march to the nearest Bank of America branch, singing Occupy Christmas carols. The Bank of America branch that we'll be marching to is on Dix Toledo Road in Northline. It's on that corner. And the plan is to hold a press conference when we get to the bank branch. Very similar to what we did on December 6th in accordance with the National Day of Action. We're going to, this is just going to be much larger this time around.
Well, it just seems to me again that, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's the simplicity, Justin Clark, of this situation that blows my mind. And so let me just reiterate it one more time for those of you that are going, this can't be true, because frankly, it is. The Henrys, who can't afford to live in their home, were told at one point that they should remodify. In the process of remodification, they were told that they were not going to be able to modify their mortgage, in fact, putting them in arrears. At that point, they were then screwed, not by what they did, but by what the bank told them they should do. It was following the bank's advice that put them into the situation that they were in. As a result of that, everything that Justin said in the last 5 minutes incredulously finds itself on the path that we're currently on. Now, as we understand it, First of America says, or Bank of America says, it's Fannie Mae's issue. Fannie says, no, it's Bank of America's issue. The Henrys just want a clean, clear, crisp new mortgage that they can pay. And again, they can afford to live in this house. It's that simple. That we even have to be involved in this seems ludicrous, Justin, at any level.
Absolutely.
All right. So, everybody that is available tomorrow, again, and if I get any of this wrong, Justin, you'll correct me. The Henrys live at 13694 Helen Street in Southgate. If you meet there, they're going to, it's a 5-block walk, by the way, to the Bank of America branch that they're talking about. So it's not like it's 20 miles, folks. It's a 5-block walk. They're going to meet there. They're going to march over to the Bank of America branch and sing Christmas carols and have a press conference and a reminder of how simple it can be just to clean this thing up.
That about sums it up. One thing I'd like to add is that if you decide to come, please dress warm, because it will be cold tomorrow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be quite cold tomorrow. There's no question that's true. So you're right, dress warm and just, you know, seasonal. It's I know it sounds like common sense, but, you know, doesn't hurt to mention it. Well, Justin, again, we start off the year 2012, and certainly, and I think that the Henry's Home is symbolic of many of the mortgages that are underwater in the metropolitan Detroit area, and so I think it's a great symbol of what we, a part of what we need to fight for in the Occupy movement as we work through 2012.
Absolutely.
All right. Justin Clark, thanks so much for being with us this morning, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again. Again, every day, 7:50, Occupy Detroit, Occupy's First Shift. Justin Clark, once again, from Occupy Detroit. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour. when we continue. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, joins us in a brand new feature that we will be doing on a weekly basis entitled Blog Roll, R-O-L-E. Blog Roll, and it'll all make sense. We'll explain it all to you a little bit later on in the next hour. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after we take this top of the hour break.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Only one more day until the Iowa caucuses, and most of the candidates were in the state Sunday and probably will be today. Joining us live from Des Moines, CNN's Lisa Desjardins. Lisa?
Oh, they're definitely going to be here. We have more than two dozen events from candidates and their sons and wives all across Iowa. Lots of attention on Rick Santorum, of course. He is the one experiencing a last-minute surge. He's asking people to not only vote themselves, but bring in caucus-goers who have never gone to the polls before. But he's not alone in that. Everyone now is turning their attention to the Get Out the Vote campaign. Reporting live, Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Des Moines.
A person of interest is in custody in connection with a spree of arson fires in Southern California this weekend. CNN's Casey Wyan is in Hollywood, very near where some fires popped up early this morning.
There have been clusters of fires for the last 2 hours in the general area where we are standing. A couple miles to the east of here, a couple miles to the north of here. We know there have been law enforcement helicopters overhead, lots of sirens, lots of activity. We don't know if they had conducted surveillance operations and were following this person. We don't know the circumstances of him being detained. All we know is they have a person that they are speaking with.
At least 47 fires over the weekend are believed to be arson, the most since the city's riots in 1992. A dangerous situation underway this morning at Washington's Mount Rainier National Park. Authorities are looking for a suspect who shot and killed a park ranger. Police say the suspect, Benjamin Barnes, got out of his car, shot Anderson, then fled into the woods. Iran says it successfully test-fired two long-range missiles on the final day of Navy war games. Yesterday, Iran tested its first nuclear rod, strengthening fears that the nation is on its way to building nuclear weapons. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
If we don't get on scene, no one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, I'll call someone their life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, with new episodes beginning January 11th, only on the Weather Channel.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
Ask Wall Street observers to characterize the stock market in 2011, and you're likely to hear the word volatile. Ask what 2012 may hold, and many will say more of the same. Europe's financial crisis was a key theme in 2011, and it's expected to remain so for a while. But portfolio manager Bob Auer of the Auer Growth Fund thinks that by next December, we will have moved on.
I don't think by the end of 2012 we will be talking about Europe. We'll certainly be talking about something, but it won't be Europe, and Europe won't take down the whole system.
Auer is optimistic about the year ahead.
We've had enough time of rejiggering and worrying. It's actually going to be more in vogue to be worrying about how you can make profits versus worrying about trying to protect your capital.
Auer says volatility is a fact of life. He says technology has given all investors instant access to information and the ability to act on it. I'm Larry Kofsky at the MarketWatch.com Wall Street Bureau.
And now from Dice.com, the career hub for tech. How 30 seconds can make a difference to a tech career. A brief symposium. You could spend 30 seconds forwarding a funny video to a colleague. Impact? A lukewarm high five in the hallway. You could flirt with the new receptionist.
Hey, how's it going?
Impact? A stern reprimand from HR. And 2 hours of mandatory sensitivity training. Or you could upload your resume to Dice.com, the top site for tech jobs. Dice has over 80,000 of the best jobs in tech. Find tech jobs from the hottest companies, from Adobe to Zynga. Plus, take advantage of videos, news, tips, and a suite of tools to boost your career. So the next time you have 30 seconds, spend them wisely. Dice.com, the career hub for tech.
My wife has lung cancer. Like more and more lung cancer patients, she never smoked. It's hard to be encouraged. The overall survival rate for lung cancer is 15%, where it was decades ago. Lung cancer is my own personal sadness, but it's a sadness shared with 225,000 new families every year. Numbers, I know. But my number has a face, a smile, hands I love to hold. For families touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. Ignoring this disease is costing thousands of lives every year. 1 in 14 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime. Will you or a loved one be next? It's time to do something about lung cancer. Go to lungcancerleaders.org to join the fight. That's lungcancerleaders.org.
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork.
Pride.
Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
And it is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this January 2nd, our first broadcast of the year 2012. And it's going to be an amazing year that's going to require a great deal of all of us, especially our leadership. And this first segment is about leadership in every way, shape, and form. And we'll get to our guest in just a moment. We will also start a new feature on the show every Monday at 8:35. It is called Blog Roll, R-O-L-E. We will visit with members of the blogosphere and get their perspective on what's happening throughout the state of Michigan and beyond. And, folks, it's not always going to be about politics, sometimes about people, sometimes about events, but we're going to keep it within the blogosphere realm and look forward to bringing that feature to you. But with that said, and again, going back to the spirit of what this show is all about, it is about clearing a path toward a new kind of sanity. And we certainly need to return this state back to what it once was. It's the greatness that it once represented for all people, not just for the wealthiest among us. And who better to help us than my next guest, guys, go ahead and give me our intro.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
But there was some hope at the beginning of the year that Snyder was a moderate. But in fact, he has proposed and signed legislation that John Engler never even considered when he was governor 10 years ago. He does it with a smile, but believe me, the quality of government here is far worse.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And joining us now is the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mr. Mark Brewer himself. Captain, my captain, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show, and happy 2012 to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Tony. You're right. We've got a very busy year ahead of us, but I'm very optimistic about our prospects across the board in this coming year.
Well, we're going to talk about that, of course, as we work our way through the interview this morning. And, Mark, it seems appropriate on the eve of the Iowa caucuses that perhaps we start with the national ticket. The Republicans begin the process of choosing who their candidate will be to go against Barack Obama. And, again, that journey starts tomorrow morning.
No, it does. And it's just you watch all this in Iowa, Tony, and you just see everybody, you know, leaping further and further to the right to try to outpander the other candidate. And, you know, you really wonder whether there's any limit to how far to the right these folks will go as they kowtow to not only the conservative element, the extremely conservative element of the Republican Party in Iowa, but then across the country. Democrats, you know, we're taking advantage of that. We did a press event yesterday with a worker who lost his job because of Romney's activities at Bain Capital. One of the things that Romney won't tell you about, doesn't like to talk about, are the number of people who lost their jobs when he was in the private equity business. So we're going to be out there making sure that people see the Democratic side of things as this rolls forward. And by the way, there's a very active Obama effort on the ground in Iowa. We're holding our own caucuses there tomorrow night. It's uncontested. But we're using it as an organizing opportunity as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting as we listen to what the national pundits are talking about today. Mark, we should probably take a look at, you know, beyond just Mitt Romney. I found it interesting throughout this entire, you know, pre-caucus and primary season that Romney has never found himself more than a couple points above anybody else in the field. And, you know, you keep on talking about each guy outrighting himself. How far to the right can we go? And you have to wonder, Mark, about that strategy, because we know that without moderates, Republicans can't win. Yet there isn't a front runner, whoever that might be, whoever the flavor of the day might be. And here we are on the eve of the Iowa caucuses, and it's still about the flavor of the day. Not one of them is a moderate. I mean, they can't really expect to win with this field, can they?
No. I mean, the moderates pretty much went home. You know, John Huntsman, he's nowhere to be seen in Iowa. You know, and the remarkable thing is, Tony, and check me on this, but I think, you know, Romney's now actually doing poorer in Iowa than he did 4 years ago. There's 75% of the Republican electorate there, as well as across the country, doesn't want to vote for this guy. Now, they haven't coalesced around anybody else, and that actually is helping Romney in a perverse sort of way because they refuse to coalesce around somebody else. But he's actually less popular, I think, in Iowa today than he was 4 years ago. He doesn't wear well, and I don't think he's going to wear well in the American people if he becomes the nominee.
Well, I find it so very odd, and you know, and we can traditionally look at what happens in Iowa and say, actually, Mark, so what? Because there have been lots of candidates that have won Iowa, and that was it. That's all they won.
Yeah, there's the usual speculation now, again, Tony, among the media that this maybe is the swan song for Iowa. And so it just goes back to the fundamental point we've made here in Michigan for years. It's so unfair that a couple of states, Iowa and New Hampshire, have this monopoly on going first and get to play this winnowing effect, basically, on the campaigns. Those are not representative states. They're not representative of certainly of Michigan or of the broad swath of this country. And we need to have a better system of nominating our presidents, because you get the kind of results and the kind of media frenzy and other things that you're seeing as a result of what's going on in Iowa. I mean, look at the Ames straw poll last summer, Tony, right? Michelle Bachmann wins that thing. She's nowhere to be seen in Iowa. She may finish last tomorrow. So why are we paying all this attention to Iowa? It makes no sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, and it makes you, again, wonder when the talk this morning, again, is you know, the rise of Rick Santorum. Mark, we all know that Rick Santorum will not be the nominee of this party. And so to even have that discussion seems to be disingenuous to the process.
Yeah, and the fact that they would consider somebody, Tony, who was so overwhelmingly rejected in Pennsylvania in 2006, and the guy lost by double digits in his run for re-election to the United States Senate in 2006. But like you said, he's now the flavor of the day, the flavor of the minute. You know, the quote alternative to Mitt Romney as they flounder about looking for somebody other than Mitt Romney to nominate.
Mark, do you think it's important, you know, let's talk very, very quickly. You know, Mitt Romney wins tomorrow. Let's say he wins New Hampshire. I think that that will certainly dictate that there will be some candidates that will drop out of the race, either rightly or wrongly. Some of them are going to disappear. You know, does it favor the re-election of President Obama to get down to just one person in the Republican as the Republican nominee as quickly as possible?
I don't think it makes a difference either way, Tony. I mean, you know, people ask me this all the time: is there somebody you would prefer to run against or not? No, not really. They're going to offer the same failed prescriptions, no matter, you know, what mouth it comes out of or what face it comes out of. The same failed prescriptions, you know. Tax the middle class, you know, tax seniors like we're seeing here in Michigan, cut back on unemployment benefits, cut back on assistance to folks who deserve it and need it. So I think it's really irrelevant which candidate it is, and we'll just have to see how long this crazy process on the other side takes.
Well, yeah, and you're right. We'll have to see. You know, it does get, you got to wonder, Mark, you've been around politics a while now. You know, you look at Mitt Romney's been running for the presidency for 5 years. 5 years. And he's raised millions upon millions of dollars. And I would bet if we were to sit down and figure out, you know, when the Iowa caucuses are all said and done tomorrow, what it cost him per vote will probably be a staggering amount of money. But doesn't it really tell us something that when a guy that's been running for the presidency for 5 years can't get more than 24% of the perceived vote in the Iowa caucuses?
Oh, I think it's very telling, Tony. And plus, I mean, he is spending money elsewhere in the country already. And what may happen here is that he'll get the nomination essentially by default because these other candidates have their own flaws. They haven't raised money. He's been campaigning longer. That's a heck of a way to nominate for a candidate for president, Tony, by default, isn't it? By default.
Well, it's actually depressing if you stop and think about it. That's, you know, not the way. That's certainly not the way that we want to see our president selected, our nominee selected. And I don't care who it is, Mark. Listen, I'm a hardcore liberal Democrat, but you know what? I want a good race. I want a legitimate race. And at this point, I don't see one. And that's fine for me. That doesn't mean that we're going to take any time off. It doesn't mean that the president doesn't need to work hard to get reelected, because he does. You know, the Republicans have done a really good job of obstructing what this president has done. So there's some education effort. There's some politicking that needs to happen on the Democratic side of the ticket. I get that. I agree with you, Mark, that, you know, as we move forward, we need to take advantage of opportunities we have to organize and bring more people into the fold. I don't trust those that go out and vote. I think that we need to be very careful that we work very hard as Democrats to reelect this president because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and the country is facing a fundamental choice, Tony, and we do want a vigorous debate this fall. I don't want the choice obscured this fall. I mean, we have two very radically different paths, you know, between what Boehner, McConnell, and the Republican nominee have been doing and would do if they were in the White House, in contrast to what the president's been doing, you know, slowly rebuilding our economy, which is absolutely devastated in the later years of George Bush. We do want a vigorous choice there, and we don't want a candidate on the other side who's just the candidate by default, who's just the last candidate standing instead of the best candidate that the Republican Party can offer. Let's have a good contest here and make the best candidate win. I'm very confident that'll be Barack Obama.
Yeah, as am I. Mark, a quick break here. When we come back, we talked about two very different paths, certainly at the state level. We have two very different paths the state's been on, the path that the Democrats perceive and the path that the Republicans have forced upon us, as we have spoken with Representative Harvey Santana in the last hour. And we often know that those paths very rarely coincided, and anything positive. We'll get Mark Brewer's thoughts on that when First Shift continues right here on 1310 WDTW.
Yeah, and come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you, Brandon.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Tharp. Welcome to First Ship.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Ship with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drug stores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back, 822. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. 2012 is going to be a year of change. Of progressive change, but we need to take a look back in order to remind ourselves sometime of why we need to change things moving forward. Mark, as we take a look at what Gongwer News Service called the top 10 legislative victories, quote unquote, of 2012. Many of them, of course, if you happen to be a Democrat or a progressive, are not very kind to you. And, you know, whether we're taking a look at the anti-bullying legislation or teacher tenure, certainly taking a look back at 2011, we see that the Republican legislature did everything in their power to change the face of politics as we know them.
Oh, no, that's absolutely right, Tony. And, you know, just a year ago, you know, people were talking about, oh, Snyder's going to be a moderate. He'll be reasonable to deal with. He'll build bipartisan coalitions. There was absolutely none of that over the last year. We saw the right-wing agenda, whether it's in economics, whether it's in workers' rights, whether it's on issues of choice or the environment or LGBT rights. We saw that, you know, that agenda in full blossom. You know, the governor would often say, well, that's not on my agenda, but would nonetheless sign the bill. And I think the way you measure people is how they perform and what they do, not on what they say. And by that measure, you know, it was a very right-wing year in Michigan. It's funny, Tony, I was following a couple of the right-wing CEOs in the state on Twitter yesterday, and they were just full of themselves. They had a very good year last year, of course, and I responded to them, yeah, it was a good year for the 1%, pretty lousy for the 99%. So we've got a heck of a fight on our hands, and I hope people will enter into this new year much more realistic about Snyder and his agenda. These people are not the friends of the vast majority of people in this state. Their agenda is not our agenda, and we shouldn't be fooled like we were early on last year.
Well, you know, it's interesting because as you talk to voters, and I think that, you know, as you start to identify some of the issues, let me take as an example one that happened very much towards the end of the legislative session in 2011, which was redistricting, especially in Oakland County. And you know what I'm speaking of, Mark, where the Republicans decided that because they didn't like what the Democrats did, that they were going to change the law in one county throughout the entire state. That should be one of those issues that says to voters, and I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat, that Republicans don't care about democracy. Democracy should still be, I would think, the prevailing vision of how we do things politically here in the state of Michigan. Should it not?
Yeah, you know, and you shouldn't change the rules in the middle of the game. And what happened there in Oakland County, and what's continuing to happen, we're working on a lawsuit with the Oakland County Democratic Party as we speak, Tony, but it's really caused a real backlash there by a lot of moderate and independent voters who, you know, that really caught their attention. That in the end, this really is all about power, particularly Brooks Patterson, who's really, I think, you know, kind of tottering there, doesn't want to have to deal with an alternative point of view, the Democrats on the county commission, and you know, is just desperate to have to avoid that, so desperate that they'll pass this bill, which targets one single county to change one redistricting process solely to benefit him. Those are the kinds of issues we're going to be taking to the voters next year and pointing out just how power mad, power crazy these folks on the other side are. And this is the kind of bad government you get as a result.
Well, talk about power crazy. And again, if you follow the money, certainly all of the changes that have been made to education from teacher tenure all the way through the entire process of funding education, it has to make one wonder, again, no matter what your particular personal politics are, what the vision for education is, because we don't know at this point that it means anything. Mark, let's look at what happened. We took away the rights of teachers. We've dismantled the way that they go about licensing teachers. We've taken away funding for education, and yet we've asked more of educators. Again, if you follow the money, you've got to wonder, and not to mention what happened with charter schools and what will happen this year with cyber schools. It just brings us to one conclusion, that people that have money in the charter school industry have the ear of our legislators.
No, I think that's right, Tony. I mean, what the big theme is here is the dismantling of public education in Michigan, so that people like for-profit charter operators, for-profit cyber school operators, and others who lack accountability can take advantage of that situation and make money, frankly, Tony. And we are dismantling a terrific public education system that's taken decades to build up so that these folks can profiteer off the system. That's the large overall theme that ties all of this together last year, and we're going to see it on a continuing basis. We saw another example of that over the weekend, Tony. There was an article in the Detroit papers about how now Michigan has some of the highest college tuition costs in the country. Well, that's a direct product of cutting funding for higher public education, which was at the top of the list by this governor and the Republicans last year. Why? So they could give tax cuts to CEOs, big corporations, insurance companies, and banks in Michigan. They are dismantling public education, not just K through 12, but our higher ed system is now under attack as well.
All right. Well, Mark, in the few minutes that we have left today, let's take a look forward to 2012, and certainly we can't have a conversation today without talking about, you know, turning our House a Democrat in this upcoming election year. I understand that that's in essence 20 seats. I'm sure that the Michigan Democratic Party has a strategy, but I'm also sure that you don't have all the candidates you need. So if there are people that are interested in running, now is the time to step forward.
Oh, yeah. No, we've been vigorously recruiting candidates, Tony, working with our allies and working with the House Democratic Caucus for several months. There are lots of great folks that have stepped forward. That's one of the few silver linings we're seeing, that what's been going on has really motivated folks to step forward. But that work continues even this past weekend. I was talking to a couple of candidates in northern Michigan who called me up on a holiday weekend to say, hey, I've had enough. I want to run for the state house. So we are very much about the task of recruiting those candidates and getting them trained and lined up, doing all the things they need to do so we can retake the state house next year and bring some balance back to our public policy making in Lansing.
Margaret, at what point in the calendar, because, you know, I'm concerned the legislature comes back on the 11th of January, and I don't know what their early agenda is. There are some things that I can guess at. Certainly right to work is going to be one of those issues that they're going to address. And I'm going to actually go back to something you've said, and the governor has said, you know, that it's not on his agenda, but as we have seen, especially with domestic partner benefits, he said it wasn't on his agenda, but he had no problem signing that legislation. So we need to be careful moving into 2012, Mark, that the issues they take up early on, and it's going to be early on when they take on some of the more controversial issues, because they're expecting voters to forget by the time November comes around.
No, that's right, but we're not going to let them forget that, Tony. I mean, just even as we speak now, these new higher tax rates for seniors are going to be taking effect. Things that they did last year are really going to start to bite this year on folks, and we are not going to let them, let the voters forget, or let these Republican legislators particularly forget all the bad votes that they cast last year, the people they cut off unemployment benefits, people whose assistance they otherwise cut. We're not going to let them forget.
Absolutely. Mark Brewer, thank you. A great 2012, and we're glad to partner with you moving forward. Have a great day. We'll visit with you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Mark Brewer, when we continue, Blog Roll, our first installment. Stay with us.
On First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comments somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
1 year from now, Americans will be caught in an unprecedented blizzard of campaign ads. Most of this ad blizzard will not come from the candidates, but from ads secretly funded by huge corporations. This is because a five-man cabal on the Supreme Court issued an edict that perverts nature itself. In a case titled Citizens United, the five decreed that, shazam, lifeless corporate elites are henceforth persons with more electioneering rights than us real-life persons. In a black-robe coup against our democracy, the Supremes rule that a corporation's money is speech, and that CEOs may dump unlimited sums of it into their own ad campaigns to elect or defeat any candidates they choose. Of course, it's a grotesque, Kafkaesque lie to say that Walmart, Goldman Sachs, ExxonMobil, and the rest are people with political rights equal to, much less superior to, human beings. As a friend of mine puts it, A corporation is not a person until Texas executes one. The good news is that real citizens of our country are united against Citizens United. In a Hart Research poll, 87% of Democrats, 82% of Independents, and even 68% of Republicans favor passing a constitutional amendment to overrule the court's bizarre decision and make clear that only people are people. Sadly, though not surprisingly, our national elected officials, including Republicans, Democrats, and Tea Partiers, are too hooked on corporate money to stand up for us, for America's democracy. So do we just have to surrender to the corporados? Of course not. We're Americans. This is Jim Hightower saying, rebel! A new We the People campaign is rallying grassroots folks to sign a Declaration of Independence from Corporate Power. To sign and join the action, go to WeThePeopleCampaign.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW. Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you indeed. We've got a new feature that we're going to start in just a minute, literally. And very excited to do this. And there's a variety of reasons, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But I got to tell you, when we reached out to you towards the end of last year and asked you folks, you know, what you'd like to see us do, if you'd like to make some changes, some of you may be a little more serious than others. Some of you, of course, would have me and Jeff and Anthony leave and replace this show with, I don't know, Rush Limbaugh, which is not going to happen. But one of the many suggestions came from the blogosphere, and certainly I'm very excited about what we're about to do. And we'll explain that in just a moment. I will tell you that this new venture will be every Monday at 8:35, so right now. And we begin with my next guest. So let's go ahead with our intro, and then I'll do a little further introduction.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And Christine Berry does join us a little bit deeper on her. Christine is an aspiring writer and podcaster, a lifelong progressive activist. She became active in political campaigns when she was a teenager, which wasn't that long ago. She began political blogging in 2004 at her personal site, which is ChristineBerry.com. That's B-A-R-R-Y. And founded the award-winning Blogging for Michigan in 2007. She has also written for Solidarity Magazine, the Detroit News, political blogs, and Examiner.com. She currently resides in Shiawassee County, where she works as a computer and website engineer. And she joins us today to kick off this brand new feature on First Shift, entitled Blog Roll, R-O-L-E. We'll be doing some stuff on the website to explain all of that further as well. But Christine, welcome to First Shift this morning.
Thank you, Tony. I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited that we're doing that this year.
You know, so am I. And I think that there's so much more that we should be doing to promote each other, which is, Christine, part of what we're doing. You know, the other piece of this is going to be, you know, Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog, who this audience is not unfamiliar with. Chris has been a guest on the show. But you and Chris are going to be going pretty much every other week. Now, there may be some weeks where I get one of you a couple in a row or the other one a couple times in a row. But we'll pretty much be switching off every other week and looking forward to that. But, Christine, what do you envision Blog Roll kind of, evolving into?
Well, I'm hoping primarily that we will be able to engage your listeners and get them involved in blogging in the Michigan Progressive blogs. I would like to see them take that a step further. A lot of times you can get information on blogs that don't go much farther out into the real life. I would like to see your listeners get engaged with blogs so they take that information and they take action on it, spread the message to their friends who aren't, you know, maybe online that much. To, you know, maybe call their representatives, write letters to the editor and so forth. I hope we can get more people to blog. I'm very excited about that. And I'm really hoping that we can also help get your show more exposure through our many, many websites and our reach. We have extensive social media reach, not just blogging for Michigan, but all of the progressive bloggers in Michigan have pretty good social media reach. And you know, Tony, I don't think that you get enough exposure on our blogs. You're on a few here and there, but, you know, your conversations and ours are really aligned. It's the same messaging. A lot of times we overlap. We should be working together more.
I'm very excited
about this.
Well, Christine Berry, I am too, and I think one of the things, you know, from my perspective is that, you know, content. I'm always looking for content. And certainly the blogosphere is a great place for content. You just said it. A lot of times stuff appears on blogs, on a blog that never goes further than that blog. And what a shame that is, because there's great information out there.
That is so true. And I think a perfect example of this, Tony, is Chris Savage's work on the emergency manager situation in Michigan. I mean, he went after that story. He hammered it and hammered it. And it was really through his network of, you know, of colleagues at Daily Kos and here in Michigan and social media sending tweets out to Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz. And I would cross-post his work on Stephanie Miller's websites. I mean, we just went everywhere we could. And finally, he was getting picked up by Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz. But look at the effort that was put into that simply because that's just how it works right now.
And let's also give Chris a little pat on the back. The Nation just agreed to take one of his pieces, and that's big. For anybody that's familiar with The Nation, Christine, that's just huge.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, and good for him. He earned that. He did. So, yeah, I forgot about that. He just announced that the other day, so that's good.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. I had one of my pieces picked up with Solidarity Magazine. I've had a few other accomplishments. And if you approach blogging, Tony, if you approach it with integrity and with the end goal in mind, which is to, you know, take action in the real world, then you can make these things happen because you will blog with credibility. You will back up your work. You will talk to people. And you will have a credible voice. And I think that a lot of times people shy away from the blogosphere because as bloggers, we don't have that traditional editorial layer that a journalist does. So they think, well, bloggers can publish anything, they can say anything, and therefore everything they say is incorrect or it doesn't have value. And that's really not true. There are a lot of good bloggers out there doing excellent work.
Well, one of the things that I hope to help you with, because I know this is something that you're very passionate about, and so we're going to stay with it, Christine, and I don't care how long it takes. You know, the other thing I want to announce this morning is that this Blog Roll segment is not an experiment. It is a permanent addition to our schedule. It will be here every week at this time, so people know that to be true. But one of the things that you're particularly passionate about is the 83 county project. Talk a little bit about what that means for you.
Well, this is very exciting. The 83 county project refers to, of course, the 83 counties in Michigan. What we're trying to do is reach out to each one of those counties and develop 1 to 2 local bloggers, progressive bloggers, for each county. And the reason this is important, Tony, is that we need, first of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life. And as bloggers, we're not doing a good enough job covering them and talking about them. And there are people interested in it, and they'll go out and talk to each other at church or fish fries or pancake breakfast. I mean, there's an audience there for the information. We just need to recruit some bloggers, train them, support them, and help encourage them to stay in it. Blogging can be a very lonely thing. It can be a very intimidating thing. And we want to make sure that people understand there's a community here to support them. The work that they do is valuable. We can help train them on things like the Freedom of Information Act or how to go about getting press credentials. And, you know, we just launched it publicly yesterday, Tony, and we already have three responses, people interested in getting involved. And while that may not sound like a lot, it's actually a very good response for one day.
Yeah, so, it's amazing. Christine, if people are interested in doing this, what is the best way? Is it just go to bloggingformichigan.com and will it all be there?
Yes, there's a post up now at bloggingformichigan.com, and I'll make sure there's a permanent link up at the top. But they can also reach me at christine@bloggingformichigan.com, and I'd be happy to bring them into the fold and talk to them.
All right, and of course, I still need to make some changes to our website to make sure that the blog roll segment is properly displayed there, and I'll be working on that today so that there will be some permalinks from my website to both Eclectablog and bloggingformichigan.com, as well as christineberry.com, which is your personal site. I just think people should have access to all this stuff. And I'm just, again, I'm very excited that we have this opportunity. And as I shared with the audience, Christine, a little bit earlier, you know, some weeks, it may not be all politics. There may be other things that we're engaged in. There may be things that we wanted to promote. There may be something charitable that we're all involved in. This may give us an opportunity to get involved with things that we didn't even consider before. But now that we have our shared resources, we may decide to partner on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many possibilities and opportunities out there, and it's for me personally a very exciting collaboration, Tony. I've been really wanting to kind of reboot the Michigan progressive blogosphere and try to get us all very passionate again. And so this is a great way to start that. And well, I really appreciate this collaboration.
Well, and again, it's something that I feel that should have been maybe from the beginning. A part of what the fabric of what makes First Shift what it is. At the same time, Christine, we've got it now. It's a great time to start at the first of the year. There's so much that we can do, and we know that, and we do need to reinvigorate. You know, I at the very beginning of every show, I do a feature called First Word, and today, I want for people to get re-energized and reinvigorated and get ready for 2012 because, you know, collectively we have a great deal of work to do in order to return some sanity to this democracy in the state of Michigan, which has fallen out of favor for so many people.
Oh, boy. It is nuts. But the things that they're doing, and they were able to do so easily because the legislation was already written before they were ever elected. All they had to do was slam it through their committees. But there are so many things that we have to keep an eye on, and we need more people to do it.
Well, and we're going to do that, whether that's through the 83 County Project or just through our blogs or through the radio show. But now we have each other. And, Christine, the first lesson in radio is, didn't this segment go by fast? Because we're out of time already.
I knew that it would. So I really appreciate it, Tony, and thank you so much.
My pleasure. Next week it'll be Chris Savage, but... folks, it's going to be a great collaboration. Very much excited. Bloggingformichigan.com. And again, I'll have something more permanent on the website a little bit later on. Christine, thanks again. A quick break. We'll wrap things up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too, when he comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
It's 10 minutes before the top, and praise for Blog Roll already coming in. Marcy, thank you for your email. I've got a few tweets, a couple more emails, but obviously, and by the way, this is one of Jeff's, when I told Jeff we were going to do this, he was all over it. All over it. Jeff's a big blog guy. So this, I'm glad it's, the early reviews, and I mean early, because it's all of what? 6 minutes old. Are excellent. I want to remind you folks, before we go further, that in the year 2012, there is something you need to do, and that is you need to belong to a union. And I can think of no better way to do that than to call this number. So let's write it down. Ready? 1-800-321-6406. That's 1-800-321-6406. If you call that number, you're going to ask this question. I want to start a union, but I don't know how. Can you help me? The answer is going to be yes. You're going to listen, and you're going to do it. So if this is something that you've wanted, maybe the one thing you should be resolved at in the new year is to start a union in your workplace, and the best way to do it is just to call this number, 1-800-321-6406. Now is the time. Now is the best time to make that change in your workplace. Whether it's for financial reasons, it's for safety reasons, it's to just try to keep the team of people together that you work with. You know what? Even in the end, you're going to be supporting management, because often they get better employees when they have a union in the workplace. Just call 800-321-6406. Do it today. Thank you. Speaking of resolutions, let me turn my attention now to my coworkers. Any resolutions in the new year, Jeff and Anthony? We'll start with you, Mr. Radford.
This is one of those weird years where I really haven't thought about it yet. I've done stuff before, like in 2009. It's now famous with people that know me that I gave up chocolate, sweets, and everything.
And you lost a great deal of weight in the process.
No, actually, I didn't. But
no, you did. You told me you lost some weight.
When not
did you
2009.
Lose weight? What year did you lose the weight?
the end of 10.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, 2009, people asked me that, too. Oh, are you losing weight? It's like, it wasn't really for weight loss. It was just because I am completely, utterly, way too addicted to sweets. And it proved itself New Year's Eve, but where I had way too many pieces of cake and brownies and everything else. I need to do it again, maybe.
Nah, come on. It's not that bad, is it?
Yes, sweets need to be to go. Like, it's fine. You know, I don't have any. That's the one thing I can't show moderation in at all for some reason. I'm not. It's like, you know, I don't drink excessively. But, like, somebody puts out a plate of cookies, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Fair enough. So you've got to think about that resolution.
I got to hope I can do it again, yeah.
All right. Anthony, did you happen, you know, I don't know you to be a New Year's resolution kind of guy, so do you or not?
You know, I haven't really thought about it, but I guess I should get one.
Okay. Well, then maybe we should revisit this. I don't know. Do you guys need a week? How much time do you need?
Let's February 1st.
Okay, let's put off that New Year's resolution for a month. Maybe that should be our resolution, should be to find one quicker than that. But okay, February 1st it is. I'll put it on the calendar when I get home. That way I'll remember to mention it. My resolution, this is going to sound really kind of crazy, but hear me out. My New Year's resolution is to be a little more selfish. Yeah, I'm serious.
I thought it was going to be shocking. I thought you were going to say to be more conservative, but
No. I think I need to be a little more selfish. I mean that, you know, our little break taught me one thing, and that is I need to take better care of myself because I really do feel good today. I mean, I really do feel good today, and part of the reason I feel so good today is that I actually got some rest over the break, and I need to stop thinking that I have to work 18 hours every day. You know, I don't have to do that. I need to. I should be taking a nap a couple days, even more than a couple days a week. You know, even if it's for an hour, just lay down for an hour. I need to do that. I need to start taking better care of myself, and to be a little more selfish. So I'm going to do that, and I'm gonna really make an effort to do that. All right. So, you know, one of the suggestions I received, and although we're going to be doing another feature, Jeff, what did you call it? Where we're going to... Tales of Interest. We're going to do that, and we're going to have that put together at some point this week or next week, but we're going to start doing that. But one of the things that people asked me to do in the changes for 2012 was to come up with some good news stories. And I think that that's fair. I do. I think it's fair. Now, I may not be able to do it every day, but I do have a good news story. This is a feel-good story. At least for me it is. At Western Michigan University, they have a program that helps young people that are in foster care. But I'm talking young adults, Jeff. And we often don't think about young adults that don't have families. And I'm saying that, you know, 18 to 22, 23 years old. So stop and think about that and what those people are doing during the holidays. What would you do if you were 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, and you don't have a family? Where would you go during break, right? Well,
good question.
Western Michigan has a great program that allows 141 students. They're called Sieta Scholars, and it's a student community of former foster children, and they share a common an in-between status. And so at Western Michigan University, 141 of them were together during this Christmas break, and they have one meal together every day, but they're there for each other as one big family. And they're all there on a scholarship. It doesn't cost them a dime because obviously they don't have families to help fund this stuff. And so it's just a really wonderful program. It's the SEITA, S-E-I-T-A Scholarship. And it is really just there for foster families, you know, for kids, you know, young adults that, you know, that kind of fall between the cracks in the system. And I think that this is a wonderful program. And it gives people, you know, a sense of connection to a community, to a family. And without this program, it just makes you wonder where would these young people go during the holidays. Now, you know, Jeff, in fairness, some of them may go to a friend's house. You know, if they're in college, I'm sure they have friends and they, you know, they're welcome in their families' homes. But still, what about those that don't have that opportunity? I just think it's a wonderful feel-good program, and I wanted to share it with the audience today.
I like that. We can find those once in a while and present as many good stories as we can. People always complain about the news that way.
Well, and fair enough. And I have a tendency to lean a little on the negative. I get that. You know, a lot of it is just my frustration with the way things are politically right now. But, you know, all things considered, you know, we do need to do more positive stuff. And we will. And we will. Absolutely. Listen, what a wonderful way to start 2012. I'm so glad to be back on the air, and I think I speak for Anthony and Jeff as well. Folks, we have lots of great stuff coming in the year 2012, so you're going to want to continue to punch in with us every day. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Tony Truppiano, and stay engaged. Above all else, stay engaged. I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for their excellent work. We've got a lot of wonderful stuff coming up this week, so stay where you're at, because we're going to bring some wonderful, wonderful stuff into your world. With that said, off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well. And if I share with you my story, would you
share your dollar with me? All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. I get it.